Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoa. We welcome you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the way you affirm that which you are doing. Thank you that this is the day you made. We rejoice. We celebrate you in the midst of this day. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we shall do if God permits. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Father. This we shall do as you permit. Thank you, Lord. And Father, it is written in Acts 13:2. We're standing on your word this morning. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them and sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. We are going to send out two by the Holy Spirit under the unction of his direction to recognize two of our watchmen intercessors standing on the wall, not just for their families or their churches, but for all of you. They're standing on the wall for Alaska, and they have been for a number of years. And we don't have to lay again a foundation of teaching on this because none of you are novices. And you know that there is a laying on of hands and a sending out by the church body. And that's what Kingdom Alliance is doing this morning with two of our very own wonderful intercessors who have been faithful, faithful, faithful. I would like to ask Nancy Smith and Deborah Ruby to come forward, please, and have a seat. Eleanor and Robert, please come. I asked this morning, girls, for a word for you, that God would release a word for this specific commissioning season for you. And the scripture he gave me was in Hebrews 3, beginning with verse 4 to 6. For every house is built by someone. Now listen to that. Every house. That means your personal house, your church house, your city house, your state and region house, and your national house. It's all built by someone. But the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant. Listen to that. For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. Moses was called a servant. My goodness, he led millions out of the land of Goshen into the promised land. He wasn't able to cross over himself, but he brought them right up, pointed the way, and stood as an intercessor while the whole family moved into their inheritance. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end, Nancy and Deborah, the word of the Lord to you this morning is hold fast your confidence and your hope until the end. Do not waver in the face of opposition. Do not hesitate when it seems too big for you. Do not stop, but as servants of the Lord in his house, and you've been positioned by him on his wall, and he's given you a place in this hour, and the Lord is saying to you, hold fast, do not waver, press in, For the Lord will do miracles through your hands. The Lord will cause strongholds to fall as you pray. And the Lord will cause an opening to be made where there seems to be no opening. He'll open the way because you pray. Therefore, this morning, we acknowledge you as watchmen, intercessors on the wall. And we lay hands upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please extend your hands to them. We lay our hands upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we commission you by his power and his strength and his spirit to that place he has placed you on the wall as watchmen, intercessors for the state of Alaska, that God would cause your anointing in this hour to increase, 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 and the fear will decrease, decrease, decrease. For God is calling you to face into that which seems impossible in an hour that seems desperate. And he's placed in your hands a rod of authority and in your mouth the song of victory. Therefore, we commission you today. Kingdom Alliance commissions you today. Watchmen, intercessors, warriors of the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
For I have circumcised your hearts unto me. I have circumcised your ears and your eyes and your mouth unto me. I've circumcised your even your very bodies unto me, and you have laid down many things for my sake. You have laid down your lives and your agendas and your fears and your desires unto me. And even as you have laid down your lives unto me, I say now I'm raising you up into a new place on the wall with me, wherein I will cause my warring angels to do warfare on your behalf and to do warfare with you. You will begin to know what it's like to do battle even in the heavenlies with your warring angels standing next to you. Even with the host of angels, you will learn how to do battle amongst them and with them, and they with you. Even as I give you a word in season that will bring down every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy, I will give you a word in season. I will give you new eyesight. I will give you new insight. I will give you new foresight to see even beyond the natural eye and into the spirit. I say that I'm giving you new eyes to see not only what the plans of the enemy is, but my plans, for my plans are greater than his. My plans are to build and establish and to cause the mobilization of my kingdom to be mobilized and advanced in Alaska. For now is the time where my kingdom purposes will be advanced in Alaska, and the kingdoms of the earth will fall away. The kingdoms of the earth, even in this great land, will begin to crumble and stumble and shake and quake, even at the very word that I put within your mouth. For my word will go forth out of your mouths, and you will see the very thing that I show you, and I will cause you to speak boldly before me. For I have made you my spirit warriors. I have made you my spirit warriors. You belong to no man, no denomination, no structure. I say you belong to me and me only, for you are my spirit warriors. Hallelujah.
As I was standing here, I was just seeing a vision, and what I was seeing is the two of you are standing. But then I heard, is there another voice? So I saw you standing, and then I saw the two of you standing almost back to back. And one of you were looking this way, and one of you were looking that way. And I saw you just pressing forward in prayer. And then the vision of the houses burning in Anchorage that the young man spoke about, it's like I saw that vision of the houses, the rooftops of the houses, fire and flames coming off the rooftops of Anchorage. And then what I saw is, in different parts of Alaska, it's like different rooftops in a village, and certain villages begin to flame, come alive and flame. And then from that one house in that village, it spread to another house and another house. And then it's like when I saw you standing back to back, one of you would turn to the other and just kind of tap and point in a certain direction, and the two of you would point towards that direction together. And then as I was seeing that, I was remembering what Kevin said last night about the prayer in the Holy Spirit, having the power of the atomic bomb in the Spirit. So, Father, I just thank you, God, for a new level of authority and power. I do proclaim this day that there's a new level of authority and power in the Spirit. And I just see the Lord and his smile. He's smiling upon you, and his hand is upon you, saying, speak out and proclaim. Make my proclamations, because they will happen. Draw close to me, because I am close to you. This day I have set you apart, and I do call you by your name, Deborah, by your name, Nancy, for you are mine. How many of you were here last night? You know, last night when I was introducing Kevin, I was telling you all, when I experienced the power and the flow of the Holy Spirit of Jesus through Kevin down in Florida, it changed my life. Has anyone experienced some of that? You know, when we have a revelation of who Christ is, it's amazing what happens. And it's the revelation of who he is in our lives. And one of the things I was hearing last night is take the limits off that we don't, sometimes we limit God and what he's in our own thoughts, in our own imaginations. We limit him. But we're going to take the limits off. We're going to begin to pray. We're going to begin to prepare the way in Alaska. And that's a part of what this is all about, is us coming together in the unity of the Spirit. Sometimes the coming together doesn't look pretty. But you know what? As long as we come together, we can accomplish something. Kevin was talking about angels last night, and Eva, can you come up here? Eva has a testimony of some miraculous things that happened in Alaska, and if you would just talk to us about it. Can you tell us where you're from and what's your heritage and just a little bit of that, and then tell us about what you were telling me?
I was born and raised at Shaktalik, Alaska, my sister Dorothy and I, and that's where I met my husband. I should say when I was a little girl. And I just want, can I tell?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say this before I give my testimony. As we were worshiping the Lord, the song Before Our God Reigns, when all of you were worshiping God in your own way and singing unto him, and I sat there worshiping the Lord through the thoughts that came so heavy were, we are standing before the King. We are standing and worshiping before the King came so heavy on me. It was glorious. We were in the presence of our King as we worship our God this morning. Praise God. Let me say this. How many of you have heard of the news about the last part of October, the first part of November, about the typhoon Nuri that hit China, was heading toward the Bering Sea along the Aleutian chain up into the northern part of Bering Sea? Okay. Anyway, the weather forecast in that area, in that region, begin to send alerts to the coastal areas about the high seas and flooding, and asking the people to prepare. Anyway, at Shaktulik, this one lady, I will not give the name, this one lady said the ocean was so black. So black, and the waves were so huge. She went and got her camera and took pictures of it. Let me describe it first. Shaktulik is a strip of land with hills on this side and Cape Denby on that side. And behind there is nothing but tundra and water. And way back there are the hills. And on the front of Shaktulik is the ocean. The water rises. The waves, the strip of land becomes an island. And there is just nowhere for the people to go and be safe except to go into their boats. Because when the flood comes, there is nothing but water in the back of Shaktulik. Nothing but sea of water and a sea of water from the ocean. And as this lady took a picture, she said, after she took the picture, she took a look at what she snapped, and there were lights out there. And she said, there's no ships out there. There's no ships out there. This is too late for the ships to be out there. So she took another picture, and the same thing happened. There were lights out there, out in the ocean, out in the bay. And you know what? The water that was supposed to rise up a certain level begin to slow down, and there was the water in the back that was almost up on the bank, on the level of the houses. Stop. I believe that there were angels out in the ocean that prevented that full fury of that storm to hit the village there. To that, there were here in Alaska and in lower 48. So God just preserved the people there. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, we were hearing about some angels last night, and they are here with us. You know, with Kingdom Alliance, this is, I walked with a person that's very dear to my heart for almost 20 years in worshiping together in ministry and spending wonderful time in the Lord together. And I look at him as like one of my fathers in the Lord, and I just want to acknowledge Pastor Leon Brown here. Thank you. Thank you for coming and being with us this morning. You know, when you're starting something new and not used to doing it and things, you know, you have to learn things. And so last night I was introducing Kevin, and that's part of what I'm trying to get better at, is introducing our guest speakers. So I'm just going to introduce him. I'll read a little bit of his bio, and then I'm going to call Kevin up. Kevin Zadai was called to the ministry at the age of 10. He attended Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, where he received a Bachelor of Arts in Theology. Later, he received training in missions at Rema Bible College. And I don't know if you caught on to it last night, but he actually died at the age of 31. During a routine day surgery, he found himself on the other side of the veil, with Jesus. For 45 minutes, the Master revealed spiritual truths before returning him to his body and assigning him to a supernatural ministry, of which we experienced last night. When you have people coming up and just coming to the altar and putting their face on the altar without being told to do that, you know what? That's the supernatural power of God. Kevin holds a commercial pilot's license and has been employed with Southwest Airlines for 27 years as a flight attendant. And him and his wife, Kathy, reside in New Orleans, Louisiana. Let's welcome Kevin to come up and just...
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming. Hallelujah. I found out some things about people. You know, on the surface, when you meet people and you realize there's something about them, you know, you think there's something about that person. You know, and I encounter a lot of people. I actually, every day at my job, I actually say, greet 800 people a day. And most of them I never see again. And so I actually encounter 800 people a day that I actually talk to, each individual at my job. You know, I do 6 flights a day, 5 flights a day. I've done that for 28 years. You can imagine how many people I've seen. And, you know, every now and then you wonder, like, what was going on with that person? You know, there's something special, you know. And as I've developed in the Lord, and when let's say he's developed me, okay, you know, because you think you know him, but it's the big thing is, when I came back, he says, no, it's not knowing him, it's being known by him too. You know, there's another step. It's when God pursues you. Did you hear what I just said? You know, and that's what the Lord told me once. He said, Kevin, you've been so faithful to seek me and you pursued me. He said, did you ever think about one day you please me so much that I turn around and I let you catch me? And I had this picture about a dog. You know, a dog will come out and, you know, growl, and it's its procedure every day. You know, it doesn't matter what. It doesn't, you're a threat, because see, essentially the dog thinks if it doesn't do anything, it's going to lose its job, maybe loses his home, you know. So he's that's his job. So he's going to make his owners feel like he's doing his job. So he's going to bark and he's going to be fierce. Because see, he thinks that he's doing everybody a favor, you know. So he wants to stay hired. Yeah. And so he has to, like, but, you know, that dog doesn't count on me. Because when I encounter a dog is growling at me, I don't react like everyone else does. I go, oh, you're happy. You're so cute. And it's like looking at me like, what? And so it gets a little more meaner, you know. And I'm like, man, you sure are cute. And I start walking toward it. And at that moment, the dog doesn't have a plan B. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm not talking about a grizzly bear here. I'm talking about a dog bear. The bear's thinking, boy, this can be easier than I thought. No, I've seen this. I've seen this about animals. I've seen this about people. You know, people respond to love because they just want to be accepted. Yes. And most people just need validated because they've not been validated. But, you know, they grew up not being validated. And it's amazing how, you know, somebody dies and comes back and they've been validated. And they're all of a sudden, they're special. But see, I was special before I died. You know, I was special before I was born. You know, like last night I talked about Psalms 139:16, that God thought of us and then he put us in a body, formed. He watched us be formed. And he wrote a book about us. Each one of our days is written in a book, according to Psalms 139. And it's amazing how people just need to be loved and validated. And they need to be known that they're important. And a lot of times people don't know that, and they're displaced, and there's this thing called rejection. And God doesn't reject people unless they make decisions based on you know, knowledge. And there's certain points where, you know, it says in the Bible God rejects, you know, nations and kings. And, you know, Saul was rejected as king, you know. But, you know, you look at the process of what he went through, and, you know, it was Samuel was valid for what he did to Saul, you know, and stripping him of his king, you know, the kingdom, you know, and everything. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm trying to tell you is that when I met Jesus, I told you, I said he didn't have knowledge about my file. Remember? And so heaven's expunged your file. And so who you are as a person is your file now. And did you know that you are the actual, what we call, you know how down here we have money or we have goods that we exchange. So like if I have something that you need and you have something I need, we can exchange. And that's how it started. And then, you know, as it developed, we got this monetary system, which, you know, it's become corrupt because it's not worth what... You know, it's paper. It's not worth what, you know. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to get into the whole economics thing. But that's how Satan can hijack and do things to something that God created. What I'm talking about is in heaven, you're the most valuable thing. And I know you don't get that. Because everything up there is what we use for our monetary system down here. We used to back our money by gold, right? And then the Federal Reserve came in and said, "Well, we can't do this because we're not going to be able to obtain, you know, the system's corrupt." So bottom line is you gotta float. They call it floating. So they unlatch any responsibility. Okay, I'm not giving you an economic session here, but you have to understand that when they started the debt system, then you know. Anything goes. You see, you know, I can't go to my printer at home and print money. But that's what they're doing every day. You know what I mean? I can't print it on my HP printer. I'll be in jail. Okay? But you understand that what I'm trying to get to is there's value. But value is placed on what God has said about you. So I don't even like to call you an asset because you're even more than that. But did you know that the monetary system in heaven is actually you? The kingdom of God is actually what has been invested in you as a person. And I mean that because, think about this. Like if I could go to heaven and just take a piece of the pavement and bring it back, I could live off of that. And all of you could too. Okay? And it's just gravel. It's just pavement. Now, you got to think like this, okay? Because what I'm about to tell you is, you see, so what would be greater than the pavement? You see, you are. Because you're not replaceable. Because a part of God went into you. And he's fully invested in you. And so, and not only that, what he does is he also contributes to your account by giving you gifts. And he gives you abilities. And so, and I'm not, this isn't story time, okay? I'm not just making this up so you can go home and take a nice nap and smile. This is life changing. You know, you'll never be the same. Because the thing about Jesus is that he loved you so much that he set you up for eternity. So this down here that you're encountering is light and momentary because you're actually qualifying for eternity. So you should see what I'm going to wear in heaven because I'm an ambassador in heaven. I'm going to actually be going out and representing him. So I have this beautiful, I mean, I've seen it. Now, we all have robes of righteousness on, but what I'm trying to say is that it's just starting down here. You know, I'm just spooling up. You know, that engine's just starting to spin. You know, and down here, what I do counts for eternity. And it's not about being good. See, I'm serious. Everybody around me, including me, I just want to be good, you know. If I can just behave today, maybe God will give me a handout, you know. No, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, if I can just get a piece of that payment, I can live down here the rest of my life. And he's like rolling his eyes. He's thinking, you got to be kidding me. You know, and the thing of it is why is it that David can strum on a harp? Not a Fender guitar. Not a beautiful Stradivarius violin. Why can he strum on a harp and demons leave? Was it the harp? It's even more than that. No, you're right. Everybody's tracking, but what I'm trying to tell you is, okay, you can argue about who the greatest guitar player that ever lived was. You know, you take him and you put him up here, and demons will come into this place, so to speak. Okay, you know what I'm saying. If they're not redeemed, and you know what I'm getting at. It's not how good you are. I mean, you can sit there and watch it, you know, and make that thing sing. And so are the demons. Why is that? And what I found is it's not who you are even now. Okay, so you think, okay, if I can just be this, or if I can just do this, or if I can behave one day. And God's smiling because it's like, no, it's bigger than that. But I've already done it for you. But you don't know it yet. But this is what's so big about it. See, it's not just who you are. It's who's with you. Now, if you want to affect your town, your city, your state, if you want to really affect your environment, you got to start an outpost. And the first thing you need is help. Because you're not doing it by yourself. And so David had help. So when David played, the enemy didn't like that. And he would leave someone who the demon had a legal right to harass Saul because he was out of God's will. And I don't want to get into that right now. That's a whole other week of teaching. But just listen to me here. Who was with David was just as important as who David was. Because see, at the time, David wasn't even recognized. He was like, you know, he was like a last choice. You know, Saul was trying to kill him, throwing a spear at him, and yet David would play and the demon would leave him and says Saul would have peace. I'm trying to show you something here. Because I thought I was something until I really met him, and then I became nothing. And that doesn't always preach. But the Lord told me, he says, you're not going to have a resurrection without a death. And he said, what's happening is you know, one of my spiritual fathers says, you know, he calls it being half-baked. You know, who wants a half-baked lasagna, you know? You know, like there's just something wrong, you know, you a half-baked pizza, you know? You know, either burn it or forget it, but don't do the half thing, okay? So what's good is that when the Lord is done with you, then you actually become someone because of who's with you. Is this good? Yeah. Okay, now see, this concept I learned because when I was in with Jesus for that time, I realized that it wasn't about me putting my best foot forward. It was not about going forward. It was about bowing. It was about coming to the end of myself. And at that point, Jesus is allowed to be who he was. See, he always was that. But he doesn't push himself forward. You know, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I met him and I realized, you know, he's the kind of person that you do not go and sit beside him at the marriage supper of the Lamb just because there's a seat beside him open. Those are designated for someone who isn't going to be asked to come there. And what I learned was, is you go and you sit at the lowest place and you allow him to invite you. And if you don't come to Jesus with that humility, if you're pushing yourself forward, then it's just you. And, you know, you'll run out of fuel. And so David had somebody with him when he played. And the demons know that. The demons know that why is it that someone can wave a flag and something happens to the atmosphere? I've had an apostle come and just go like this. And something cleared through the whole church. He didn't say a word. But every demon knew what he was saying. Okay, do you get it? Okay, everybody's tracking me. Okay. Okay, so it's who's with you, right? See, so you're already an asset in heaven, okay? You're more expensive than the streets and anything else. There's, you know, like there's jewels that, you know, I don't know, kids probably play with them as marbles, you know? You know what I mean? It's not the same as down here. So here's what I want you to think about. If God's calling you to make a difference, then it has to be who's with you, not just who you are. Because we are everything that Paul teaches in his teachings, in all the epistles. I mean, I read those constantly. When I'm on the road for the 8 hours I'm sleeping, I actually listen and I start with Romans and I listen to the whole thing. When I wake up, I'm usually at the book of Revelation. And so I'm listening to those goodies every night. And I've been walking with the Lord 35 years. So it's not about how long you walk with the Lord. There's things that Jesus did that is only by revelation. Paul had that revelation. The Spirit of God can take what you're hearing and turn it into reality. So how would you like to become an outpost for God? And it starts with, you know, I said I'd pick up here today because we talked about occupation and how Psalms 23, how David was saying in the Passion Translation, he said, you know, I will not fear because you've conquered fear and you've conquered me. You've already conquered fear, so you've conquered me. And so Jesus is all about occupation. But the occupation actually starts with you. And I went through all that about how being born again of the Spirit is only the beginning of occupation. Because, see, your spirit is born again now, and you're lit up. You're on the map. But I remember I mentioned about the transforming of your mind. You know, we have spiritual warfare. And part of that warfare, Paul says, is that we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God has to be brought down. Okay, so I told you about Eve and how she's talking to a serpent about doctrine. She's talking to an animal about God. And Nakash, the serpent, is saying, did God say? Is that what he said? Did he really say it? You know he's holding stuff back from you. Now, what is she talking to a snake about? Why is she talking to a snake about this? You know, God every day came down and walked with them. You see, everything that presents itself and exalts itself above the knowledge of God has to be brought down. Okay, but we're not alone. And I'm just telling you, would you like another shortcut? I gave you some shortcuts. You want another one? Did you know? Now, don't take me wrong, because my spiritual fathers were the faith people. You know, the faith movement. I've had my hands laid on. I mean, I've had their hands laid on me. I've been sent out in the ministry by the father of faith. My spiritual father right now is the man, you know, to most people. But he's just a man just like me and you. I mean, he sits across from me and he goes, I have five friends like you, Kevin. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're on TV every day. See, people just want to be able to be safe. They're just people just like we are. But you want to know a shortcut? How would you like to know a shortcut? Did you know that there's something above faith? What does it say that love is? It says God is love, right? It says God is love, right? But see, because and everybody's like, oh, I want to focus on faith. I want to focus on prophecy. You know, like the power stuff. Yeah, love is good. You know, and it's because you don't know what real love is. So it's just like when I met Jesus. I'm looking at Jesus and I'm thinking, why would I want the mantle of Brannon, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin? I'm looking at Jesus. Have you ever heard anybody, even at this, come up here and stand up here? I want the ministry of Jesus. I want the mantle of Jesus. You know, no one's looking for the mantle of Jesus. But I stood before him, and I'm looking in his eyes, and I'm thinking, this is it. This is the end and the beginning right here. I mean, everything that exists was made through him. If he says I have favor with him, then there's no middleman. Are you getting this? I mean, I'm not making this up. I'm thinking, I want his mantle. He said, I'll tell you what the secret is then. He said, talk about me instead of you. He said that the testimony of him is the spirit of prophecy. So guess what? I start talking about Jesus and all of a sudden I'm prophetic. I mean, I just step right into it. And I just did. As soon as I mentioned his name, I felt it come on me. And the whole room will shift now. And not only that, the angels come because they're like, okay, they're going to talk about him instead of he, me. You know, I can stand here and talk about God, about me and God, and it might not help you because I've created a gap. But Jesus said, no, Kevin, you're going back from the dead and you're a bridge. I'm just going to announce it right now. There are no more heroes. There are no more heroes in the faith. We're all heroes. The Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. We're all going to prophesy. We're all going to see visions. That's the prophecy. That was not Pentecost. Everybody thinks that Joel prophecy. But if you look, it talks about the blood moons and billows of fire, smoke, and the end times. God is going to pour out his spirit on everyone. And not only that, I mean, I'm going to be walking down the street because I've seen this already. I already know what's going to happen. I can tell you the future. There's coming a time when the people that are
are outside, they're going to want to get in because it's going to be on them. And then they're going to say, I got to find one of those sons of God to pray for me because I can't sleep because I'm having visions. I see this all the time. I'm talking to people at work and they start shaking and they start crying. I'm like, I said, do you want Coke or Sprite? And they're like, I'm serious. It just happened. I saw 41 people saved in just a matter of three flights. And the reason it was because it was on me and people were asking me. And so I got like this and I'm like four rows back and I have a tray in my hand. And every time I went by, these women are like, they started laughing and they're like moving. And one lady's starting to cry and the other lady's laughing. And I'm like, what is with you ladies? And they go, every time you walk by, there's something about you. I go, I'll tell you what that is. I'll tell you what that is. I died and I came back. And I saw Jesus. He sent me back. And they're like, oh my. And I'm like this. And they're like, tell us, what did he look like? Before you know it, there's 24 people telling me to speak up because they can't hear me. And I told them, I said, well, this is what it is. God had, I saw their books, there's books, and they got your name on it. And Jesus has this plan for you. And I led them all to the Lord. And there's people sitting there crying. We're 40,000 feet from Fort Myers to Atlanta. And I'm thinking, you know, I always wanted to be in the ministry. And I couldn't understand why God sent me from working at a ministry. He told me to go to an airline. And you know what I did for the first 5 years at the airline? Every night I would go buy hamburgers and I would feed the homeless because I thought that I had been disqualified because God told me to go to an airline instead of go to another country or stand behind a pulpit. And so I fed the poor for 5 years. I would buy, and I couldn't afford much, so I would get the dollar hamburgers. And I would just go and I would just tell people that God loved them and I'm going to pray that from this day forth that God's going to work you out of this situation and you're going to be implemented back in because he has a plan for you. And I did that for 5 years on my own, alone, because I thought I was disqualified. And then I met him after I met him. You know, I came to an altar and gave my life to the Lord October 6, 1980. But in 1992, I met him. And now, it's not who I am, just who I am. It's who's with me. You see, I can't lose. I've already died. What do you do with a dead man? I mean, they have no fear. He told me I can't lose. He said, I'm sending you back. It's extra credit because you were supposed to die today. But I'm sending you back. And I went back into my body on the hospital table. And every day is a gift for me for the last 23 years. It's a gift. Every day, it starts out at 6 o'clock like Groundhog Day. I got you, babe. And I know exactly what's going to happen today. It's going to be all God and not me. Did you hear what I just said? But does it take a dead man coming back to tell you, don't go to the other place? Jesus said, if I do that, they won't believe you anyway. Remember he told that to Lazarus. Yes. Okay. Enough of that. But you've got to be occupied first, right? And I told you I would start from there today. So that was my opening statement. But here's the thing. Jesus is military. He reminded me so much of what I thought King David would be. I actually know he's a descendant of King David. He has that warrior thing about him that none of those paintings you have in your house portray. He's not weak, and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't ask you if he looks good in purple or, you know, or do you think my presentation's okay, and, you know, what do you think of my sermon, and, you know, do you think people like me? I want to tell you something. What he says goes. He's not really interested in what you think. He's interested in what you know. He's interested in where you're going. And he's interested in if you're going to allow him to go with you. Because it's who's with you. It's just not who you are. Okay, so why is this? How can I come back and I can play 9 instruments now without lessons? 9. My dad's a professional saxophone player. I played the 3 saxophones that he has, the 3 different ones, out of the box. I played them. And he sits there and shakes his head. Why is it that I can pick up a flute similar to Robert's as a Celtic flute? When I ordered them, the guy said, well, how long have you been playing? I said, I haven't. He said, what do you mean? He said, so you don't haven't played the little ones? I go, no, I'm just going to order them all. He's like, what? He says, you can't play the big ones. You have to play the little ones first. And I said, I don't want the little ones. I want the big ones because, you know, it's the like you're saying, the sound, the frequency. But it's more than that. And he said, well, I'll sell them to you, but you're not going to be able to play them. So I pulled it out of the box and played it. Never called him back to tell him. So what were you saying? Okay, so I go to a church in Seattle, and I'm warming up, and I'm standing right here on this part of the stage, and there's a blank spot right here beside the piano. Okay, and so I'm just warming up, and we're going to do a service, and, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, okay? I could just play them. I just don't understand it. The Lord said, I want you to pick up a couple of these Holy Ghost flow music people. The Riveras. You ever heard of the Riveras? Okay. He said, buy their albums, buy Jason Upton albums, go in the dark, and I learned how to play all the instruments playing in the dark by just flowing with what the Spirit was doing through these people. Did you get what I say? So I don't know what I'm doing, but so I'm over here and I'm warming up. I'm warming up these things. And all of a sudden, like right there where there's nobody standing, and there's no church service yet, so we do 2 hours of worshiping first at this church, you know, because I believe in doing my homework. And, you know, the devil wants to see if you're serious. And so if you just, like, if you're going to create an outpost somewhere, first thing, you want to have that sound of war. You want to have that sound of victory. You want to create an environment. Part of that environment is pushing things out that shouldn't be there. And I'm not just talking about teaching, because you can teach. You know, that's why I teach. I could preach up a storm. But Jesus taught the people. He had them sit down, and he taught them. See, I'm destroying strongholds. Last night, I was doing surgery. You know, because I have books. I've written books, but I don't have time to teach all the stuff that's in the book. So the Lord just tells me, get your medical kit out and do this, and start nailing stuff. Just talk about me. Tell them the truth. And it's amazing. You know, as you're sitting here, you start feeling like free, and the presence came in so strong because it's all about him. But there has to be things that have to be destroyed. And so I started warming up, and someone was standing right here. Everybody heard it. The whole worship team. As soon as I started playing that flute that I can't play, something started screaming at the top of its lungs right there. And it flew up over us and out the whole length of the church and out the back door screaming. But there's nothing, you can't see anything. It went through a door that was shut. How does something invisible that's really not there? Because most Christians don't really believe in the devil. They say they do, but they don't. And they don't believe in demons because they think it's one thing, and it's not. I've seen these beings. They were here before us. And they're mad because they lost their bodies. And that's why they want yours. Oh, it's all about occupation, people. I mean, the sooner you get a hold of this, God's claimed some land. Israel's given it away. But God said, that's my land. You know, there's spots on the earth, they're his, because they've been given to him. Okay, so this thing left because I was warming up. And I don't know how to play. But something that came out of that flute, whatever that was there, did not like it. Did you hear what I just said? Now, I'm telling you, I tell a lot of the stories I tell is with other people there. I have stuff that happens to me. I present Jesus with even witnesses, because I've had Jesus come to me and appear to me when there was people there and they saw him too. So this isn't about like me eating pizza and falling asleep and having a dream. This is real stuff. And I'm a bridge. I'm not a hero. You know, you can walk across me to Jesus. You know, I'm creating a place for you to walk. You know, because you can do this. You know, I'm convinced that some of you, if you would yield, I would come here to hang out. But you'd be up here. That's the way it is. I'm not kidding. The commander in chief that I met, he's all about promotion. He's all about being with you and making you look good, just as long as it doesn't go to your head. Because Samuel said to Saul, he goes, he ripped his garments off and he said, you're no longer king. And he said to Saul, he said, I remember when you were small in your own eyes. What's pride? Pride is protection. But you don't need protection with him. See, but you don't know that yet. See, you walk around like a peacock sometimes. You know, and you're all that. And then you're humbled. And, you know, if you humble yourself under his mighty hand, he's going to lift you up. Okay, so getting back to this, why do devils respond? It's because of him. You know, remember I told you about the seven sons of Sceva last night? These people saw the disciples casting out devils, so they thought they'd do it. And so the demon said, well, I know Paul, and I know Jesus, but who are you? But see, if you are someone who has been occupied by the commander, and then the commander comes with you, there won't be that conversation with the devil. There can be a white flag and a puff of smoke. I'm not kidding. You know, I'm serious. I've seen the war over before it started. You know, and I've heard, oh, you wouldn't believe this stuff. You know, you heard, because I, you know, one of my position papers in college was shamanism. And I have documentation. I mean, this isn't story time around a fire. This is anthropologists who went to the countries and observed for a year. Documented. This is real stuff, of course. You know that. You're up here. But, oh, to somebody who just goes to the zoo and visits the sharks in a tank, instead of surfing with them, you know, I'm on the outside. I've done a position paper. But when you're living amongst this stuff, when I've had supernatural darkness against me, and it's sink or swim, then when you call on God, it might be help. Then you're not all that, you know? Now you just want help. So what I had to do is I had to say, you know, I'm either in or out. And that's what the Lord would say to me. He goes, are you in or are you out? Because we got stuff to do together. He's like King David. So why did the flute chase out a demon? It says, who is with me? And it was what God had put on me, because it wasn't about me practicing. Even though I do practice, it's something else that the demon hears. Yes. It's something else that the demon knows. You see, the breath of God was breathed into you. And when you breathe out, your words are propelled by the destiny that is at the throne. And if you're hooked up with that, guess what happens? Your prayer, I'll just tell you, I'm just going to go to the chase because I don't know how much time I'm going to have. I'm speeding. This is like speed teaching. I've just skipped through about 100 pages of my first book. This is what I'm trying to tell you is that the Lord said, Kevin, Do you want to know a shortcut to faith? He said, you come to my throne with questions, but there are no questions at the throne. There are only answers. Did you hear what I just said? You know these people that die and they come back and they don't forget to ask Jesus about stuff. And, you know, I'll tell you why. Because around him, there's no questions. I know you didn't get what I just said. There's only answers. So if it's not pertinent, it doesn't come up. So what he's going to focus on is what's pertinent. And you become an outpost the second you become born again. Your book is activated. You know, the book that was written, there's people in hell right now. There's glorious things, Jeremiah 29:11. There's glorious things written about them, and they're in hell. Because their book was never opened. They never allowed God to activate them. They never accepted him. They never accepted his plan. There's people that are walking with God. Their book is not being done. Because they're doing their own thing. I'm just telling you the truth. Okay, let's get to some happy stuff. There is no questions at the throne. So there's only answers. And this is what happens. You intercessors, I'm an intercessor. I don't intercede. I am an intercessor. Okay, this is the shortcut. The shortcut is relationship. The shortcut to faith is relationship, because I don't have to conjure up anything. You know, I'm not the prophets of Baal that have to like cut themselves and do all that. And Elijah's like, maybe he's on vacation. And they're just sitting there. And he goes, are you guys done yet? He goes, go get some water and make this really hard. You know, like, remember I told you how you can put heaven into a corner? By doing stuff for people that can't pay you back? Because God has to pay you back. Remember that? Okay, what if you walk with God to where no one wants to help you? But you're going to still walk with God. What happens if you're alone and you're rejected and nothing's working out? And yet God says, walk to me on the water. Your next step is the supernatural. Yes. And you take that step, and then just like Abraham, I'm not taking nothing from you, because you'll never be able to say that you made me rich. God made me rich. So God will actually purposely almost allow people to abandon you, because they can't, that you throw them off. You're going to pray what? You're going to pray an hour? I go, honey, me and my wife just prayed 14 hours yesterday. Did you hear what I just said? On my days off, that's after working 12-hour days, I'll pray 14 hours in tongues. And I work full time. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not bragging. I'm just trying to tell you, that's my oxygen. But see, I'm not praying in the spirit for myself. I'm praying in the spirit because I have a relationship with him and I want to connect. And that's what you want to do. You want to connect with God. And it's, listen, how many of you go to a function that you love all the people and you're having so much fun and you can't wait till they have it again? Are you looking at your watch? When's this going to be over? Do you hear what I'm just saying? When you're prophesying by the Spirit, do you ever want it to stop? You want it to be a 20-minute prophecy, because the flow, oh, heaven is speaking through you and the angels are listening. Did you hear what I just said? Because they hearken unto the voice of the Lord. When they hear God speaking, they're at attention. And they're like, this boy's hooked up. They take note of that. Okay, so when you pray in the Spirit, it says you're talking to God. And I have some amazing stories to tell you. I have some amazing supernatural documented stories. I have been translated. I have been documented as being somewhere else. and I'm a flight attendant. I'm not on TV. I don't have a pulpit. I don't have a board. I have a wife and a couple stuffed animals. And I have a book in heaven this thick. And God's adding to it because I'm being over exuberant. I'm yielding too much. So my book's getting bigger. Because I'm yielding, I'm not building. I'm yielding. And my book is getting bigger. Did you hear what I just said? Okay, so the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, so there's a shortcut to faith. You can actually bypass faith. And, oh my gosh, my spiritual father would just fall over if he was sitting right here right now. I just had lunch with him. But I know he'd fall over. But once he understands what I'm saying, he goes, oh, okay, yeah, I get you. There is a shortcut to faith. You see, when you know that God loves you, do you know that that's greater than faith? According to the Bible, it is. But, it's not taught because it's not popular. It's not the thing right now. But I'll tell you what, when all you all are gone and I'm by myself, you know what I need? I need love. I need validation. I need relationship. And so what I'm concerned about more than anything above ministry is relationship. Yes. And I have the ministry of Jesus because I have a relationship with him. And he shows up and makes me look good. But it's not really me. So, you want to become a good intercessor? You have to be willing to pray 14 hours, but just pray 2 minutes. Because this is what happens when the Spirit of God shows up. Are you ready for this? He told me this. He said, Kevin, he said, you can pray yourself out of yourself. And then you can just concentrate on your neighbor. And see, I used to think that I had to just get so full of the Spirit and get so drunk in the Spirit so I could tolerate people. Is everybody hearing me? You know it's true. I mean, my God, like I have to pray 2 hours just to go to Walmart. Because, I mean, it's not just one ring circus, it's 3. I mean, I've had people, I'm like, I turn around because my wife's not right behind me because I'm saying, keep my back. We're in a zone, we're in the war zone here. Walmart. She's not back here. And I look and there's this little lady. My wife just happened to be in her way, so she's trying to run her over with her cart. And she's telling her to get out of the way. And my wife's like, you should have done that before you hit me with the cart. She was in the way, so she was just hitting her with the cart instead of, no relationship. Do you get it? So when did that become the form of communication? It became that in Walmart. And it's amazing because you get greeted on the way in and you get handed a cart and it's all a setup. Just to let you... Okay, you know where I'm going. You know what I'm saying with this. Now, what if Jesus says, you know what? And this is what happened to me before I get into these prayer conquests. I want to tell you what happened one day. I mean, I've just skipped over a whole bunch of material because I guess the Lord thinks you're ready for it. Listen to this. I don't intercede anymore. I am an intercessor. According to Jeremiah chapter 1, every intercessor has to learn Jeremiah 1. You see, before you become a prophet, you got to become an intercessor. But intercession is not always pretty. And intercession is not based on performance. Intercession is not based on commission. You're not successful just because you get commission. Do you understand that I can be sent here and I can see nothing happen and yet I've done my job? Because I'm a plumb line too. Yes. Read Jeremiah chapter 1, because if you want to be an intercessor, then you got to be a plumb line. Now, what's a plumb line? The plumb line, when you hang it, it tells you the true based on gravity, which is an invisible force that can be manipulated, but for the most part, it's 32 feet per second straight down. It's always there, so it's pushing down. And the weight makes that string a straight line. Now, what will happen is God will drop you into an environment. It could be a geographical location. It could be a relationship. But see, because he can trust you because you have a relationship with him and he's with you, he can put you in there and he can trust you. You won't diminish. You'll prosper. Now all of a sudden, you're under everybody's skin. And you're doing God's will. Is this good? It's not being preached a lot, but you know, I want to tell you something. Jesus isn't about the popularity. Jesus one day, too many people were following him, so he turned to them and he said, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. It says that many left him that day. How do you like that for a church growth seminar? Apostle Paul is in jail most of his life. Wasn't very successful in the eyes of a lot of Christians these days. But I eat his goodies every day because he wrote half the Bible. Or at least most of the portion of the New Testament. In a jail cell for doing the right thing. Oh, well, you know, not many books written about that. But God was with him, right? Okay, so you're in a situation where you are in a place and you're called to it. And God trusts you because you're a plumb line. You're a measuring rod. You're a battle axe. This all language from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a profound prophet. You know, Daniel was reading Jeremiah when he figured it out. He goes, wait a minute. This is us. Daniel's like, wait a minute. This is 70 years. This is the captivity that we're in right now. In fact, it's almost 71 years. God is late from releasing us from this land of Babylon. He was reading Jeremiah. Oh. Daniel found himself in the Bible and started fasting and praying, saying, Lord, this is us. We need deliverance. You're a year late almost. And the angels came and explained the whole thing to him and then showed him the future. So Jeremiah is profound. But Jeremiah didn't think he was successful. In fact, God had to tell him, don't look at their faces. He goes, well, I'm young. He goes, I don't know how to talk. I'm young. He says, don't look at their faces. You're my measuring rod. You're my plumb line. So whether you like it or not, you become one of those. And if you want to be an effective prayer and interceder, if you want to be an effective prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, evangelist, the truth about it is it's all about occupation, but God's going to drop you in to the most adverse circumstance because he wants it. He wants that place for himself. And you're the man and the woman. Did you hear what I just said? And so all of a sudden, everybody that leaves you doesn't know that you've been promoted. Because God said to Moses, you know what? I'm just going to wipe out all these people. I'm going to make you a nation. Because Moses got it. Did you hear what I just said? No, Moses had to coach him and say, you know, you're going to get slandered, Lord. You do this, and they're just going to say, you brought us out here to kill us. So don't do it. But they ended up all dying anyway. Because of unbelief. And Hebrews warns us of the same. Okay, I'm getting somewhere with this. Is you pray in the Spirit. And not only are you a plumb line, but now it's being broadcast. Because now you don't know it, but you're starting to clear a 30-foot area around you in the Spirit. And then, you start prospering. And he started having people come. He said, again, I just feel called to help. You know, I can pray. Before you know, you got a group of people praying on the same page, and then the angels start showing up. And the angel's like, we've been assigned to this region, and your prayers have come up before God. And God starts revealing himself to you, and the revelation starts framing your world. And you get this place where the Word of God through the Spirit of God is framing you into this beautiful building that can be inhabited eventually. So you have these phases where revelation of the Spirit causes you to be built up, not only individually, but as a group. And as you pray, more angels come, more people come, the Holy Spirit starts to rest and visit. And so this phase of visitation comes to your establishment. And you're visited by God. It's amazing. It's like you can't wait to come back. But I want to tell you, there's another phase. And this all starts out with somebody being dropped into Walmart, so to speak. And you become the plumb line. All of a sudden, you're in everybody's way. And they're saying you're crooked because how can all of us be right, and you must be wrong because you're the only one that says you're right. You know, you don't have to be honest. You're allowed to tell lies. You can keep back some of that money. God's not mad at you because you do this and that. It's like no. And so the plumb line, like Jeremiah, they started fighting him. So you start praying, and guess what? You do 10 minutes, and you feel like you just ran a mile. But see, you're the pioneer. Of course you're going to feel like that. But you know what? Then before you know it, you got a group of people praying, and you can feel it. But I want to tell you something. Oh, this day comes. What I was telling you, God, one day he visits and he decides he's not leaving. He's going to stay. It's called habitation. And you don't have to conjure him up. And you don't have to tell the demons to leave anymore because they already are gone. And it's a permanent habitation. It all started with one person who was a plumb line. Somebody that prayed. But here, do you know there's more? Oh yeah, there's more. Did you know that there's something more than habitation too? The Lord said to me, he said, when you pray, he said, you can come to my throne. And I got to go. And I saw that in a book of Revelation, it says that those who overcome and are victorious will sit with me on a throne beside me. You know, and even Paul said that, right? He saw that we were seated with him in the heavenly realms. We're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And I found myself in prayer one time. I opened my eyes, and I kid you not, I saw white robes as far as I can see. And in one voice, they were singing a song that I wasn't allowed to bring back, but it was a song of the redeemed, and it was forever. I could see white robes worshiping the one who sat on the throne. And so I thought, and I looked, and there's Jesus right there on my left. And he's just sitting there taking it in. I'm like, and I wanted to just slide right off there. What am I doing up here? Because it felt like I was being part of the worship, you know, like, or I was being worshiped. I wasn't, but you do understand what I'm saying. I felt uncomfortable. And so I was just going to, like, excuse myself and slide out and get down there. I wanted to worship because I couldn't see the one who sat on the throne. I could see Jesus. So I went like this, and Jesus blocked me. He says, you can't look on him. I'm like, I heard this before, but I thought I'd give her a try, you know, but I couldn't see his face. So I saw it up to a certain point, and I couldn't see his face. Because you can't live and see God's face. It says that, and it's true. I've tried, and you know, people talk about the fear of God. I've encountered it, and it's fear. It's not just respect. It's not respect. It's not reverent. I mean, I thought if I can just get out of here alive, you know, it'll knock the slack out of you. And so the Lord said to me, no, sit here. I said, Lord, I should be worshiping. And it was one voice, like it was shaking. It was reverberating. Everything was shaking in the throne room from that one voice. It was all these people. I couldn't tell if they were angels or men and women. They were all in white. And they were concentrating on the one who sat on the throne. And it was heartfelt. It was powerful. And I could only dream that it would happen here. But I want to have it happen here. But he said, Kevin, he said, anytime in prayer, you can come and sit here with me. He said, just sit here with me until you get your answer. Because there are no questions here, just answers. He said, just sit with me in prayer. And when you get your answer, take it back with you. He goes, that's it? He goes, that's prayer. He said, you know what, Kevin? He said, you can pray yourself out of yourself. And you can pray yourself into the answer. But he said, I'm going to take it a step further. You want a step further? He said, you become the answer. You see, when I came here, it's not prideful. But when I hang around heaven, like you do, when you get in his presence, you hang around heaven. You know, I guarantee you're not rubbing off on him. You know, like when you leave, you know, Jesus turns to the far and says, man, every time I start acting like him, every time he comes up here, I start acting like Kevin. Yeah, he's like, No, he doesn't diminish, and he's not influenced by us in that way. But he told me, he said, listen, he said, you become the answer. And so it brings a whole new light. I mean, this is not being taught, but think about this. I mean, what kind of intercessor are you if you become the answer? And you haven't prayed yet. What if the spirit of reality, the spirit of truth, takes you to your answer first and has you stand on it? And you're like, whoa. And it's so real to you that it feels like you just skip faith. Oh, no, did I just say that? You know what? Because it's about love. It's about relationship. It's greater than faith. But see, it's that we judge love based on what we know. But we can't judge God on what we know. Because what we know down here is degraded. You know, if we think about it, why we're in such a mess at times, is because we actually judge God by our former relationships. How am I supposed to love if I've never been loved? Did you hear what I just said? You know, how can you come to God unless you be drawn? I mean, that's a scripture verse. It's in red. Okay, so it's not about you, but God makes it about you. But this is what he does. He says, I'm going to skip all this. He says, you want to be a prophet, you want to be an evangelist, you want to be an apostle, you want to be an intercessor, you want to be. Do you want my ministry? He says, then put yourself in a position where you become the answer. What? Well, is not the plumb line the answer? Okay, so you all have your measurements, and I hold this thing out, and it's a measuring rod, and this is 3 feet. Everyone pulls theirs out. No, and this is 3 feet. And I look, and yours is about 6 feet. And I have somebody back there that's 4 inches. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened here? I thought there was a standard. Well, there is a standard in heaven, but things get jimmied with. And you say, no, this is love. If you do this for me, this is love. And it's like, well, no, no. If this is what I consider love. And if you do this, then you get this. And you know what is so funny is that Jesus never has any conditions. He's not like saying, if you do this, I'll do this. Like, you know what I'm saying. You can be good and you can do all this and you can live under the law and you'll get the reward of the law, you know. Like if I go 55 in a 55, I'm not going to get a ticket. Not for going 55. If my taillight's out or something else. But you understand, if I want to abide by the law, then there is that ability to do that. But if I want to abide under his love and his grace, it's a higher law, but you just don't know it. But see, I'm not going to hurt you because I love you. I love God and I fear God. So I'm not doing anything to you because I'm doing it to him. But if you don't know that, guess what? Everybody better take up arms. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, are the bears walking in love? Are all the people in Walmart walking in love? So we need rules, right? But see, in God's realm, there are all kinds of laws. But it's based on love. And so it doesn't even come up. But down here, it comes up. Because if you don't do certain things don't happen. Because we're in a fallen world. You know, I need a police officer, not to stop me when I'm speeding, but to protect me from all the others that are. Like if I decide to go ahead and not speed, right? But others do. Well, they're not walking in love. You're getting this? You see, it's not just you behaving. It's others. You're being protected. So like, I'm not going to do something because I'm going to hurt other people. But people aren't thinking that. I want to do this because this is what I want. That's not being an outpost. That's not being yielded. Okay, so you have all these measuring sticks, and they're all saying, well, no, this is it. This is straight. It's like, no, that's crooked. It's like, well, and then the world will say, well, we got 5 billion people that say this is the way it is, and you're saying it's not. And you can understand where Jeremiah was. And he's right the whole time. Did you know that Paul was right the whole time and he spent his day in jail? There's a guy named Watchman Nee. He spent most of his time in jail for what he believed in China. He wrote 30 books in jail for what he believed in. I mean, why didn't he have three houses? Do you understand what I'm saying? And yet the whole time God wants to prosper you, but he's not prospering you because you're good and you're godly. It's not why, you know, godliness is not gain in the world sense. Because if that were the case, then why did Paul live in jail? And he said, I make myself happy. I count myself as being in him. I have everything. Okay, so why is it that I can play a flute and don't know what I'm doing and a demon leaves? Are you getting all this? Okay, so what if Jesus himself says, listen, if you love me and you obey my commands, he says, me and my Father are going to come and live with you. And then all of a sudden, the answer is living with you. And then it's more about what he has to say. And it's so funny is that my spiritual father, I'm sitting here talking. And I'm not saying anything. I'm just like, every now and then I'll say something little. And I want him to talk. You know what I know why? Chances are that he knows more than me. He's got white hair. He's been in the ministry 50 years. He goes all over the world. And I watched him on TV for years. And now he's sitting with me. And so he asked me, well, who'd you see in heaven? And I started to tell him, and he says, well, I saw this. And he starts talking about his experience. And I just sat there, because you know what? I don't need to know what I know. I need to know what he knows. And his wife turns to me and turns to him. He goes, You know, because she caught that he had asked me a question and he's answering it. And she said, well, why don't you let him answer you? And I said, no, it's okay. I said, I already know everything I know, but I don't know what he knows. And my spiritual father told me in school, he said, if you're sitting with a man who's older than you and has gray hair, keep your mouth shut. Because you can't tell him anything. So why are you going to tell God something? Or why are you going to tell somebody who's been doing it already? See, there is authority. There is submission. There is the ability to take shortcuts. And the shortcuts have to do with what is on a person and why they're in your life. So Jesus tells me to do something and I do it and I'm a hero. But I'm really not. I just did what he told me to do. And he coached me the whole time. Everybody's like, oh my God, all this stuff happened. It's like, yeah, but you don't see when I'm all alone and I just want love. I just want relationships. Did you hear what I said? I would give up ministry for relationship. Did you hear what I just said? Because I've already done that. I worked a secular job thinking I was disqualified. And so I thought, well, I can at least feed the poor. Guess what? When I did that, I put heaven in a corner because they can't pay me back. Only God can. So guess what happens? God visits you. And he said, we're in debt and we don't like that, so we're going to have to pay you back. Because it says that he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord and he pays rich dividends. It's in the Bible. And so, when I pray, you can't help me. You can stop me. You can call me and bother me. You can call me and bother me, but you can't stop me from praying unless I let you. But you can't help me either, because I got to pray. All right, but I put myself in a position where God himself has to act. And how I do that is I don't allow my measuring rod and my plumb line to diminish. And that is that when I come into a situation, like here, you don't think you're not going to bless these people and visit them, do you? You're not going to think nothing's going to happen, right? I mean, let's get this straight. I just flew for 12 hours to get here. And I worked to get the money to buy the ticket. Because it's not about the money. It's about obeying God. And so I come up here and I already know God wants to do something. It's rigged. And so I come here and I'm like, you, demon, right there in the corner, why are you still here? Did you not get the briefing? No demons allowed. No, that's not me. Do you understand that part of what God does is that when he occupies you, is then it's about him, and the devil knows that. And so Jesus is like not having to fight the devil to leave. They're like negotiating where they're going to go. They already know they're going to go. Am I right? He steps out of the boat. They're already negotiating with him. But they're not negotiating about if they're going to get cast out or not. They don't want to go to the pit, and they don't want to leave the territory. They already know they're leaving. Okay, so if it's not about you, but it's about him, and he lives with you, you're occupied, and now you're going to occupy a territory. Do you think that the demons know that? Do you think they sense an authority, like when you talk and when you put your foot down and when you pray? So what I'm trying to tell you is that in this session, what I wanted to to get you to realize is that Jesus said you can become the answer. So you're thinking, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to move mountains, and I'm going to, you know, this person's going to repent, and we're going to get this money. And Jesus is standing there with a clipboard, and he's got all these angels. And they're like looking to Jesus like, are you going to stop him? And it's like, they're looking at this and they're saying, and all they're waiting for is some key words. Because they're military. Like, they don't want to sit around and talk about your kids and about your dog. Do you understand the angel is like, has anybody ever met an angel? Like, literally met one? I mean, literally met one, and where they talked to you, and there was flat out, wasn't, I mean, I'm flat out like, if you would stand up and walk toward me, that kind of a thing. I've had them, because I'm not looking for them. And they love that, because Jesus is the center. And so you don't look at them, you look to him, and they show up, because you're safe, because they don't want any attention. Did you hear me? But they're all about getting it done. Did you know that? Did you know they gather around you and they are like, listening, okay, we already had the briefing from the throne. We already looked at the books. So now they're standing around and you're going to prayer. Because you're going to have a conquest here. You're going to kick some butt. But see, all they're looking at is they're like, this stuff's already been ordered. Like, from a higher command. And you're like, all that, and you're going to work it? And see, the Holy Spirit is anointing you to say certain things. And so you're going to speak by the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you feel like this activation around you in the room. But no one else is there that you can see. And all of a sudden, you got a room full. And you start to speak by the Spirit. And those angels say, you know what? Those are the code words. That's what we heard the Father speak. That's what I read in their book. Is this good? Okay, so what happens is you engage heaven, and heaven engages you, but it's because you became the answer. You're on assignment. Okay, we're going to close with this, because we're getting there. We're getting there, right? It's time, right? Whoa, what time is it anyway? It's already nighttime where I'm from. What time is it? Oh, my. I'm so sorry. Okay. Oh, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Everybody will be happy. Everybody will walk away. No one will get hurt. God's purpose is already established. His throne is actually has layers. If you look at Psalms, well, I think it's 89, it says that his throne is established with layers of truth and justice. You know, his actual throne where he sits and he makes judgments, it's all based on solid attributes that never change. And so if he hands you a plumb line and he tells you to stand there, then you're going to get in the way if everyone else says you're crooked. Because, see, you're in the way. And you're ruining the party. Hey, can I tell you a couple stories? Because I know I better go to the stories. We'll just finish. We'll just do this tonight. Is everybody still happy? Robert? I am so sorry. My meetings, I want you to know, I mean, it's not like I'm trying to do anything, but my meetings last, say, 5 hours, and nobody stops me. And I constantly, every hour, I'm asking, it's time. They're like, no. It's because it's not me. But, I mean, it's like everywhere I go, I mean, I'm told 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I'm fine with that. But then when it comes to that, it's like no one wants to leave. And it's not about me, because it's not, I mean, I guarantee you. But I'm a dead man. You know, it's about him. Okay, the plumb line will cause you to feel friction. It'll cause you to feel uncomfortable. But did you know that you can be put in a place and never see a result and have done the will of God? Because you held back the powers of darkness from proceeding any further. And that's what God's intention was. You have claimed property for God. And you will be made to feel uncomfortable. And you will feel like you're the only one. But you're not. Because there's many brave people like you that will not take no for an answer. This is God's territory. This is God's territory. It's His. And so the agenda that God has for this place is already written and is rigged. See, I've been on the other side, and I don't want to get into doctrine here, but I want to tell you something. You want to hear a cool revelation? Jesus, I was told that God has never found Himself in checkmate. You want to know why? He said, because I made the game. He said, I always reserve one last move for myself. Did you hear what I just said? If you find yourself in a corner, oh, look out. Because glory is about to hit. Because He has another move, you just don't know it. It's rigged. It really is rigged. It's rigged. It's rigged for us. Because Jesus tied it up good. And He told me, He said, Kevin, He said, Satan thought that he had me in a corner when he infiltrated in Genesis chapter 6 and he infiltrated man. He said, and he knew that a redeemer had to come. Did you hear what I just said? So what he thought was, I will make man part something else so that when the redeemer comes, he will not be a perfect sacrifice. Did you hear what I just said? Did you understand what I just said? Think about it. The Nephilim show up in chapter 6. Okay, now there's half-breeds, there's hybrids. It says the whole earth was corrupted. It said that Noah and his eight and his family were the only ones that were perfect in their generations. And if you look it up, it's genetics. So they were the only seed that was perfect left on the earth. Everyone else had been interbreeded with. It was corrupt. Okay, why do you think all the genealogies are listed in the Bible? Do you ever wonder about that? Because it takes up a lot of pages. You know, and I love all those people, but you know, it's not really what I'm looking for, you know. It's not in red. You know, I don't pray those every day and I don't feel the power. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the power is in the intent. See, tonight I might talk about this, the intent of the word. It's not just the word, it's the intent that God had. That's where the power is. Because God has a plan. It's all rigged. You can't lose, but you have to have Him with you. Because He's paying your bills. He lives with you. He's going to pay. He's going to take care of it. It's the truth. Okay, so where was I? Sorry, yes, those Nephilim. The devil tried to get God in checkmate. He knew a deliverer was coming. He's going to have to be redeemed because it had to do with the flesh. Because God said, I'm not going to strive with man any longer. They're going to live another 120 years, and that's it. 120 years later, the flood came. God preserved Noah and his family because they had not been interbred with, so they were the perfect stock to reseed the earth. So it says, then after that, the Nephilim popped up again to do the same thing, okay? I'm telling you this for a reason. So then he gets David, who forms a band of 30 men, and they take them all out. Did you hear what I said? They cleansed them. Jesus was a perfect human being. And God said, this is what I want to tell you, why it's rigged. Think about this. You have to read this carefully because it says God preserved another move for himself because he knew. And that's how much he knows about you. There's always another move to help you. You know what he did? In creation, he hid water underneath the earth. And he burst that forth and he destroyed all of those half-breeds with a flood. The devil didn't see it coming. and kept Noah floating above it and reseeded the earth. That was a move that the devil didn't know about. So he has a move for you too. God has a move for you, an extra one. So when you're in a checkmate and you can't move and it's tight, you just hold on, because your next step is into the supernatural. It really is. All right, I'm going to close with it because I know we got to go. Can I tell a couple stories real quick? Are we okay? But you tell me, because I can walk right now. That's fine with me. Because it all starts again tomorrow with I Got You, Babe, at 6 o'clock, Groundhog Day. If you know that movie, I don't watch that stuff anymore. But I like that movie. And it's got a spiritual meaning to it. It's like my life every day. I already know what's going to happen. It's rigged. And the bottom line is, I just come back and I just keep talking. I had something happen to me. I woke up, and like I've told people, I wake up and I'm usually in a different city every night because of my job. So I'm in a different hotel. And first thing I do is I feel if my wife's there, and then I know if I'm on the road. And because I'm in a different city almost every hour. So I'm really used to interceding and breaking in territories. And you can blindfold me. I can tell you what city I'm in. You can fly me somewhere and blindfold me, and I'll tell you where I'm at. That's how evident it is to me. This stuff's real. Okay, so I get up and I'm sitting there and I'm trying to figure out where I am. Okay, I'm in Omaha, Nebraska. All right, and there's the bathroom. So I'm going there. Because you know, you can open the wrong door and end up in the hallway. Think you're going to the bathroom. There's hotels, you know, it's kind of messed up, you know. So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I get swept up. And I mean, I'm not making this up. I was being whisked away to heaven at a very fast speed, and I couldn't tell if it was my whole body or, you know. And I don't pray for this stuff. I've never fasted or prayed for a visitation. I never had that intent, and yet I have had this stuff happen. But you know, it's not about me anyway. It's about being a bridge so everybody can walk across. You know, you can do this, but it's not about seeking anything but Him. He's it. I mean, it's a shortcut to your faith. You have a relationship with Him. You got the head honcho. You don't even talk to the secretary anymore. You have His personal phone number. And it's praying in tongues. It's praying in the Spirit. Okay, so I get whisked away. And I'm in this like a law office. Really exquisite type thing. And I'm sitting in a waiting room area. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, I was just sitting on the edge of my bed a minute ago. And now I feel so far away. And I'm looking, and I hear this voice, and he's kind of yelling. And I'm thinking, I know this is heaven, and I know, I looked around, and this door was cracked, and Jesus was sitting in that office. And I saw this person was a being. The more I looked at it, it wasn't human. It was a demon. It was the accuser of the brethren. And he was walking back and forth, and he was getting angrier and angrier. And he had this issue with someone. And, you know, he was bringing all these railing accusations about this saint. And I'm sitting there a little uncomfortable. You know how you feel like, well, you're in this conversation, but you're really not, you know. But the door was cracked, so I figured it was intentional. And so all of a sudden, he says, this being says, and you got him that job with the airline, and he's going everywhere, and he's telling everyone about you and how easy it is. And he says, you got to tell him to stop. He's messing everything up. And he keeps going, and his arms are up in the air, and he's flailing, and he's back and forth, and he's presenting his case. And I'm thinking, when is this going to stop? And all of a sudden, I hear Jesus say, you know what? I've heard enough. Kevin can do what he wants. And I get speed of light, back to my bed. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, did that just happen? And I thought, I am effective. I've been given a hall pass to the universe. So I'm gonna end it with this, and we'll start tonight. But this is exciting stuff, because what I would do is I would start praying because it was rigged. Ooh, do you feel the shift?
Yeah.
This is where prayer becomes fun, because I started praying, and when I started praying, I started going, and this is what happened. I would pray for people because I almost got kicked out of school because I couldn't pay my school bill. And God, I left the Air Force Academy nomination to be a fighter pilot. I turned that down to go to Bible school. And I was the only one that was happy about it. I mean, I won't go there, but you don't do that. You don't do that to your senator after he gives you the slot. Because there's a whole bunch of people that want that. And I was going to wait a year because I was runner-up and I was going to get it. And the Lord called me to the ministry. But I don't have one of these. I'm a plumb line at 40,000 feet going 500 miles an hour for 28 years now. So I couldn't pay my school bill before all this happened. So I left everything. And so I'm praying. And I thought, man, you know what? This girl that I'm praying for, she's about ready to get kicked out of school because she can't pay her school bill. And I used to be in that very thing the year before. And all of a sudden, I prayed as though it was mine. Did you hear what I just said? Do you know what happened to me? You're going to love this story, because you know what happened to me a year before? I got the notice, just like she's. So now I'm praying from this place of knowing, of actually feeling the weakness that she's going through. Because I was there. And the prayer was powerful. But you know what happened to me a year ago? I got the notice. And I went to a wall where there's a picture of Jesus in my friend's house. And I said, Lord, I said, I obeyed you. And I dropped everything that I was going to do. And I left everything. And I said, I even gave my bank account when I got born again. I wrote a check for my bank account. As a teenager, I gave everything. I said, I will never have to worry about money again. Now, I'm not asking for an offering, because to tell you the truth, that's not why I came here. I'd rather heaven pay me back, however that may be. And if I told you my stories, I mean, you've heard my stories. You've heard my stories in Fort Myers. I'd rather have God pay me. Did you hear what, you have to live this to know what I'm talking about. You can't pay me back. I put God in a position where he pays me back. And if he doesn't, it doesn't matter to me. I've already won. I turned to this picture and I said, Jesus, I left everything for you. And now they're going to kick me out of the school that you told me to go to do something you told me to do. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing what you want me to do. I didn't stand up in sixth grade and tell the class that I wanted to be a flight attendant. I didn't tell them I wanted to be a preacher. Back then, he didn't have male flight attendants, so it's really bad. I had to wear a dress. And I told her, I said, you love me, and you'll pay my school bill. And I just walked away. And I wasn't being cocky. I just thought, you know, wait, God's like set me up to have me die. I would have given up everything. You know, I can't go back to my senator and say, hey, I'll take that slot like 3 years later. You know, forget it. I stiffed him. Okay, so I get a notice to come see the registrar. And I know what that means. A couple days later, I'm being told, you know, I'm out until I pay my bill, okay? So he has me come in. He's really nice. His name's Burl Best. This is in 1983. He slides this thing over to me and he says, read this. And I open it. I owed a lot of money. Oh my God. And it said paid in full on it. I am not kidding you. And he goes, I got to tell you what happened. And I go, I want to know what happened. He said, we got a call from this businessman in the city. We were the seventh college he had called, because he was praying and he got your last name in prayer. And the Lord told him to pay this person's school bill off. And because I have an odd last name, he remembered kind of, he couldn't pronounce it right like some other people, but sorry. He said, do you have a student with this last name? It's kind of weird. And they go, yeah, his name's Kevin Zadai. And he said, well, I'm supposed to pay a school bill off. Does he have a school bill? And they go, oh, yeah. He's about ready to get kicked out. He says, I'll be right over. He wrote a check for it. Now, this is a paper Jesus I'm pointing to. But see, he honored my faith. Now, I have tons of stories like that, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because I don't have that anymore. Do you hear what I just said? How can you be afraid of something that you don't have? Like, you're not afraid of something because you don't have it. It doesn't have you. Okay, this is what happened when I prayed. I wanted to lay hands on this girl. Because I felt like, well, I'm just going to impart what happened to me. So I'm praying in tongues. And I deal with 3 hours every morning before class. So I'm praying in the prayer room in college the year after what I just told you happened. And I have this knowing. Are you getting where I'm going? You intercessors, you're listening? I had this knowing that God's going to do it. Because he did it for me. And why wouldn't he do it for her? She's the sweetest girl on earth. He's going to do it for her. So as I'm praying, all of a sudden I feel this whisk, like there's like a 50 mile an hour wind going by me. So I just keep my eyes shut. Next thing you know, I'm like, the temperature changed and the aroma changed and what's underneath my feet changed. And by the Spirit of God, I started prophesying to this girl. And I'm thinking, I'm still in the prayer room, but I don't feel like I am. But I just let it fly. And I said, thus saith the Lord, I've called you to this place. This is what I have for you. I have provided for you. And you are called here. And I'm prophesying at the top of my lungs like an Old Testament prophet. And all of a sudden I go, and I feel the wind back, and I'm going backwards now. Now I'm back in the prayer room. I'm like, what just happened? Okay, this girl, we graduate together. She stayed in college. She has supernatural provision. You want to know why? I paid her school bill off. Because someone did it for me. So I went without. So someone else could finish. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. I was praying about it, and the Lord said, you're it. Okay, you didn't get that. I became the answer to my prayer. You didn't get it. Do you think they got it? This is Jesus. I had the money. It's hilarious. I had the money. I wrote a check. The same registrar took the check. He goes, what are you doing? I go, same thing somebody did for me. He started crying. You see, now I got the ministry of Jesus now. Okay, so she doesn't know that. She still doesn't know that. So she's doing my thesis so I can graduate from college. So she's typing it. Okay, so I hand it over to her. She's got to type it. And we're walking back from the library, and we're ready to graduate in 2 weeks. And so I have to turn this term paper in, and that's my thesis for my degree. And as I'm doing that, we're walking, and she goes, I've been waiting to ask you this because I didn't want you to think that I had a crush on you. But she said one morning, and I have it in my journal, she said, one morning I woke up and you were standing at the foot of my bed in the girls' dorm through at least two security doors. You were in my room and you were so loud and you were telling me, you were prophesying that the Lord had called me to this place and that I will provide for you. And I had to tell you to be quiet because you're waking up my roommates. And you're not supposed to be in the girl's room. It's a Bible school, you know. We had rules back then. I don't know what it's like now, but we actually had rules. But Can you believe that? So we checked out the dates. It was on a Tuesday. It was the same day that I had in mind. How do you explain that? So not only did I have that wonderful experience, but I actually got to be part of the answer. Okay, I'll save the other two stories for tonight. I think it's time. Amen. Praise God.
You guys doing all right? More than all right, huh? I want to say a few things to you guys in closing, but you know what? We have the hall pass to the universe here with us, and I want to use that hall pass just for a minute. Pastor Brown, he's been experiencing some pain in his back, and I'm wondering if you and us could pray for Pastor Brown before we close this. Pastor, can you come up here, please? Kevin, can you come up? We'd like to pray over his back. He's been experiencing some back pain. Just stretch out your hands, okay?
In the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you that in your eyes, Jesus
completes
the task of healing.
Thank you.
That the healer is here. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that my brother is experiencing the healing hand of God that Jesus paid for. And I thank you, Lord God, as I tell the pain to leave and that the back must heal and arthritis must go, and so shall you be, because you've asked me. You are free. I have called you and I have placed you in my hand. You answer to no man because you know me. We stand in his presence. We stand in his presence now. The healing power of God. Jesus, you said, what's easier to forgiven or get up and walk? They're both impossible without you. But you, Lord God, make it possible. For with you, all things are possible. And I thank you, Father, that you have healed him. And I thank you, Father, that he serves you from his heart and that he has great rewards. That yoke is broken. Healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We take it. Nati sukovetra hinas. Yes, goetra shataska tishato, wrapped up in him. Hallelujah.
you, God, for the newness of life, Lord. I thank you, God, Lord, that you step through the other side in your spirit, Father, to the new season that you have for him. Thank you, God, for the new season. A note here, it says, remember the village of Buckland, Alaska today and next week. Believer Mabel Gerdy lost 3 people in her family. Send out God to comfort Mabel, her mother, her husband, sister, and husband passed away in Buckland. Father, we just lift them up to you, Lord. Lift up Mabel. God, just ask, God, that you would send your angels to her, Lord, to comfort her, Father. God, I thank you, God, Lord, that, Lord, we just send your love to her, Father. Lord, let her stand in the midst of you and in your love, Father. God, I thank you for the Friends Church, Father's, Father, and the believers in Buckland. Just asking, God, Lord, that you would flood that church with your presence and your Holy Spirit. Lord, bring the healing, God. But Lord, bring your deliverance and bring your salvation, Father. Bring your kingdom to Buckland, Father. Let that be one of the places that the fire, that your fire begins to burn, Father. Begin to burn in the houses, Father. The fire of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for that. Mm-hmm.